This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 10th, episode 1038, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. I know most of the country's getting ready for a really cold snap that's coming across down from Alaska, a big storm that's up there. So get out your coat.
Polar vortex. Polar vortex, they're calling it. Woo, that sounds cold.
It's supposed to be in the single digits in the Dakotas and up that way. It's supposed to be in the single digits. It's too early for that crap.
I don't know how Canadians survive. Like, I think that those people are crazy. And then you realize there's people that live further north. That's insane.
I know. It is nuts. They said pretty much, you know, all those shows where they go out fishing off of Alaska, you know, all the TV shows?
Mm-hmm.
They said pretty much if you had a boat in this storm, you're at the bottom. And we're never going to see you again. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, you know, over the weekend, we haven't talked in so long, it seems like. Friday we had that special episode, and I saw over the weekend you posting, I was kind of surprised, and then I wasn't surprised when I thought about it. You were posting little pictures of a cute doggy that were directed towards your husband, apparently trying to convince him that he needs another dog.
Well, the story is, Glenn, that I do some work for I volunteer to do the Facebook page for the Sheriff's Department, which is an animal rescue. And they do a lot of horse rescues, but they also do dogs and cats. And every once in a while, something will come across my radar that I need to repost on the MASH Horses Facebook page, which, by the way, we're close to 1,000. I really want to get 1,000 people. So if you don't like MASH Horses Facebook page, please go find it and like it. So there's this thing of these dogs that came across my screen, and I needed to repost onto the MASH page. Well, oh my gosh. So this is a facility that had 40 dogs that they were used for breeding, okay? Rottweilers, German Shepherds, tiny Chihuahuas, poodles, Cocker Spaniels, and a little Springer Spaniel. And there's the pictures of all the faces. And the story is that they think these dogs were stolen from different people. So they want to get them out and share around that these dogs have been recovered. And so I posted it on the page, and so a certain amount of time has to go by before they're available for adoption, so hopefully their owners find them. If they were stolen and used in this breeding thing, worst nightmare for a dog owner, of course. But I saw one on here, and I really, really want to foster it, and I really want to foster it really bad. So I started taking pictures and making memes of it, which is like the writing that you put around a picture, and it goes on Facebook. Well, I'll post one here on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page because, oh, my God, it's the cutest puppy ever. Isn't it the cutest puppy ever?
It is very cute, but you lied to your husband in this one picture especially. You lied.
I didn't lie.
Because you said, I promise I will never poop in the house. That is a lie.
Well, that
all
may have
dogs
been one
eventually
of the things
poop in the house.
That might be one thing the dog lied about. I didn't lie. So one of the memes, what I did is I started making these with the shelter picture. So it's like this sad, sad eyes, sad look at this dog. And I started putting little words around it. And one says, I mean it. I love you, future daddy. That one was a good one. The other one, another one said, all I want to do is live on a farm. And the other one said, I promise I'll never poop in the house. So I started making these. I got an app called the Meme Factory. And I started making these, and I had just way too much fun with it. I started making memes for everybody because it takes like 5 seconds. And I started texting them to him throughout the day. And he's like, oh, I know what happens when we do this. You're going to get the freaking dog. So I would just like to let everybody know the update is I am going on Wednesday. I'm going to do a half-day ride along with Deputy Trombi, and we are going to stop by and look at the dogs. Now, they're not available for adoption, so I would be just fostering Glenn. And my track record with fostering, thank you very much, is pretty good.
You mean you've taken them all? Is that what you mean by pretty good? Or you've actually given them back?
Well, it depends on your version of good.
Well,
I found the dog a home, Joy. I found her a home with one of my students. She comes out every week during the lessons for trail rides, and she just is so happy, and it was this perfect teenage girl, loves her. And then the mare that I fostered, I found her an amazing home where she lives in the east side of Phoenix in a big grass pasture. Life is great for her. I get texts up every week, updates. So I just want you to know that my track record is good. So we talked last night, and I said,
I haven't flunked yet. Fostering.
There is a time and a place for everything. But I just want to tell you that I am going out on Wednesday, and I'm making dinner last night. I'm like, hey, so Deputy Trombi and I are going to go to look at the, and I'm going to get some updates of the horses and get some work done. And he's like, so you're going to see the dogs? I said, yeah, I'm just going to go in there and visit all of them. He goes, so does that mean you're bringing a dog home? I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to go look. He's like, you don't look. He's like, it's like you going to look at horses. You take your trailer. He's like, are you bringing a dog home? I'm like, I don't know. We're just going to see. So I think I got the green light, but it wasn't an official green light. But I you know what?
I have a plan.
You do?
Yeah. You have two dogs now, right? You have Zenyatta and Boomer. Zenyatta is a really sweet dog and, you know, never causes any trouble. And then there's Chad's dog, Boomer, who is a pain in the butt. Why don't you trade Boomer for the new puppy?
Oh, my God, I would do that in a second. I mean, anybody, please. You know, Boomer is on his second month of Prozac, and I don't think it's working at all. Nothing has changed.
You know what
Why
you need
am
to
I
do?
Prozac?
Take Boomer outside, get a little mud, cover him in dirt and mud. Don't feed him for a week. Bring him along on Wednesday and say, I found this dog alongside the road, and I'm going to give you this one. I'll take the other one, but you guys have to take this one in because it was a stray. What do you think?
Oh, look at this poor stray dog I found. Can I have that one? And you take this one?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's good. He almost got hit by a car. I felt so terrible for him.
Terrible. Terrible. But I can't take a big dog like this. I need a little dog like this other one.
Yeah, a little Springer Spaniel. I think that would be a better fit for me than this stray, male, neutered, microchipped dog. Can you get microchips out of dogs? Can you take microchips back?
Sure you can if you know where to cut.
Oh, gross. Sorry, Boomer. Okay. Poor Boomer.
Poor Boomer. Chad would kill you anyway.
Actually, no. I think he's over him. He's like, this dog sucks.
There you go. I came up with the perfect solution. Just look to me your solution.
You're a genius. A genius.
Don't be a little deceitful. I mean, you could put him alongside the road and then pick him up there. I mean, then you're not really lying.
Good point.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following this fun-filled look at the most recent headlines and most unlikely horse stories and dog stories, Lisa Coulter will gallop through with a look at para-reining, and then the wily voice of Horse Nation kicks up the chuckle factor, so stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winning Time. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to our wonderful listeners around the world because November 7th, and I don't know why this wasn't just that day's show, but for some reason we had a record day for Horses in the Morning downloads for one day. You know, it broke our one-day record in the tens of thousands, and I'm not sure why. Last Friday
Which
was
one?
A day everybody decided to listen, but it was a record day, so... There we go.
No kidding. Our holiday gift-giving guide?
Yeah, that was part of it, but people were also listening to past episodes, you know, and it was just a combination of all of them added up, you know, ended up being a record day. Yeah, I think the holiday gift-giving guide did very well, is going to do very well, and we'll replay that if you missed it and don't want to go back. That will replay on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving as well. But, yeah, so there you go. Thank you to our listeners for that. We really appreciate it. And also... give a shout out to the Dressage Show, Horse Tip Daily, which Jennifer does, by the way, went over 1,000 episodes now. And Dressage, Horse Tip Daily, and Eventing all broke records last month in October for a number of listeners. So
nice.
Congratulations to all of them as well. Things rocking and rolling here at the Horse Radio Network.
I got to tell you, there is nothing I like more than being called a bad influence. I mean, that's one of my favorite things. Like, Jamie, you're a bad influence. Then that makes, I can walk around with my head held high. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Because Mary Barr is going to get my Daily Whinny. And she says that Lady Dalliance has arrived. She has quite a zen-like presence. Something different around here. Well, Lady Dalliance is a new off-the-track thoroughbred broodmare that Mary has rehomed. So she says she's back to three, and she's very, very happy to have her new horse in the barn, and her husband says that I am a bad influence. Yes!
This is all your fault.
It's all my fault! God, that makes me happy. Oh, thrilled. Congratulations, Mary. That's awesome.
Good job, Mary. Congratulations. I'm sure you're going to enjoy her. Lady Dalliance, that's a good name, too. I like that name.
I did. That is a,
and she's
that's
cute.
A thoroughbred
broodmare. She posted
broodmare.
A picture. She posted a picture.
Oh, really?
If anybody wants to see it on our Facebook page under posts by others, you know, post the page by other people. And she posted a picture of her, and she is really, really cute. So you can stop by and check her out there. Well, we have to cover. Let's do this first. Let's cover the story that everybody has posted. I think I got this story about 50 times, and I know you have as well. And it's been all over the world. The Daily Mail just did a huge article on it. And I don't know why this has been done before, but this one really struck people and really got a lot of press. Her name is Sheila Marsh. She was 77 years old, and a long time, like from childhood horsewoman. She did hunter jumpers and she competed. She was dying of cancer at the age of 77, was in the hospital. And she asked her family if she could see her horse. This was a horse that she had owned for 25 years. The horse's name was Bronwyn. And the hospital arranged it so that they could wheel her bed. She couldn't walk. So they arranged it that they could wheel her bed outside and they could bring the horse to the hospital to meet her. And they did that, and they have pictures of it all over the place. Jennifer can post a link to the article. As I said, it was in the Daily Telegraph. It was in the Daily Mail. It was everywhere. And the horse actually bent down and kissed her on the cheek. They have the picture of that happening, and they said goodbye. And actually, she died a few hours later. How cool is it that she got to, you know, this horse she had raised from a foal. 25 years she had been with this horse, and her daughter said she loved her horses and she loved all animals. She had 6 horses, 3 dogs, 3 cats, and other animals. So they made this happen, and this woman died in peace. I know this happens because I've dealt with a lot of seniors who have passed away. They're waiting for something, and in her case, she was waiting to say goodbye to her horse, and then she was ready. So, you know, a lot of times it's waiting for a loved one to show up or to finally get there from traveling and things like that. But what a neat story that this was able to happen and she died in peace. So
absolutely. But just an absolutely beautiful and heart-wrenching and sad and happy story. story at the same time. And you know, I got to think, like, the horse in that situation absolutely understands what is going on. You know, to wheel out a, when I looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, to wheel out all that equipment and the bed and the sheets and the blankets and the covers and the IVs and the people and the cameras. And that horse was so gentle and calm. And you just almost wonder, you know, you wonder what goes on in their head, but you got to wonder, like, how much of that do they understand? You know, I like to think that my horse would be so calm, but my horse would probably spook and run away and all that, you know. It's supposed to be a beautiful moment.
Well, then
you
would see your horse
down the road.
But then you'd be laying there going, oh, yep, that's my horse. I can die in peace now. Your horse
yep,
is
there
down
goes.
The street. Somebody else's
as
problem.
As runs away, kicks somebody in the process. No.
That's funny. But, yeah, so that was a neat story. You know, I got to tell you, what do you do with your manure?
That's funny.
Do you have to have it? I'm totally changing gears here on you. Do you
like,
have to have it carted away? Do you pay to have it taken away? What do you do with your manure?
Yeah, you know what? We're fortunate to have a dumpster right near the stalls, so we actually take it. And, yeah, you basically have to pay to have it carted away. And we cart away every pile on our three-acre property. It's painful.
Well, and you have to pay to do that. Well, pretty soon, if these Swiss scientists have anything to do about it, companies are going to be paying you to come pick up your manure. You're going to make money on your manure.
Really?
I'm going to tell you, yeah, because scientists in Switzerland have discovered a mushroom that grows on horse dung. They found a new protein in this certain kind of mushroom that grows on horse poop that has antibiotic properties that they haven't seen before. This is at the Institute of Microbiology in Zurich. They're exploring various potential applications for this. Their findings that were published in the Journal of Biological Chemistry, and they say it has the same effect as traditional antibiotics, belongs to a different class of biochemical substances. It's called copsin, and it's a protein where traditional antibiotics are non-protein. And what that means is that it can be used to treat different things than the normal antibiotics can. They said that the human body protects itself against infections, but they found, for example, on the skin and mucous membranes, there is this protein. So you already have this protein, but this particular mushroom also creates this protein so it can be given in larger doses. And they're not sure exactly what's going to come of it, but one of the things that happens with most of these proteins that they find that could become antibiotics is that they're susceptible to high temperatures and they break down and degrade in high temperatures. This one has been able to withstand 100 degrees for several hours without any degradation. It's what makes it unique. And it would have to, because, you know, manure piles get hot, right? So
yeah.
It would have to be a mushroom that can withstand the heat. It's just really cool sciencey stuff that all I read in this is we could be able to sell our poop. That's what I got out of the whole thing.
As a horse husband, you are like, how can we make money on this venture? Because we would just lose money.
That's what I saw. The other thing that this one does is copsin, it kills pathogens on food. So they're thinking it might become a product to use in the food industry because it will kill Listeria, which is a bacteria that causes severe food poisoning. It kills Listeria. So they're thinking it could be used in the food industry.
Yeah, between having Listeria or eating horse poop.
Exactly.
Almost don't know which one to pick. Let's pick Listeria. Oh,
my
God.
So those little mushrooms you see growing on your poop pile, well, they might become important someday.
Please don't listen to Glenn right now and take that mushroom off the poop pile and pop it in your mouth. Nothing good comes of that.
No. Let the Swiss scientists figure.
Talk about scientists. Scientists are thrilled that they found a 47 million year old pregnant mare that they found the skeleton completely, almost completely intact, and she was pregnant, and the unborn foal was about to be born, considering it already had its milk teeth. This is a sad story for said horse, but really a good find for scientists. Horse, it's one of those, you know, it's 47 million years old. And you said you were surprised that they were so small.
Yeah, this was said it was the size of a dog.
A fox terrier.
Yeah, so dog, small. I mean, small horse.
And the horse had four toes on her front feet and three toes on her rear feet. So it just goes to show you how in 47 million years we have really, you know, changed the face of the horse. But it's really cool because they said it was magnificently preserved. It was a total, complete, and articulated skeleton with the fetus. Now, what I did think was funny, you know, this whole making babies thing has been going on a long time. I mean, a long time. And I don't know how much can change, but they said that they were surprised that they found a uterus. And that feature still exists in modern horses. Like, it's a uterus. Like, the x-ray showed traces of the animal's crumpled outer uterine wall, a feature that still exists in modern horses and humans and every other animal that has babies.
And it was in the back end. It wasn't like in the nose. Or
what, Jennifer?
Are they intimating that the reader of said article thought horses laid eggs that they needed to put that in?
Yeah,
I mean,
we still
really
have those.
Yeah.
They still have uteruses. 47 million years later. Oh, my gosh. Well, they said that the fetus was close to term. And this, what's really sad, and this just goes to show you how crazy the world was back then, or the planet, and how we're probably going to get it back to there if we don't clean up around here. But the way that the horse died was, it says, when a thirsty pregnant horse drank from a freshwater lake 47 million years ago, she was unaware that poisonous volcanic gases would lead to her sudden demise. So basically, she's like, I'm pregnant. I'm so thirsty. I'm going to walk over and have a walk. And falls over dead because there's poisoned volcanic gases coming up out of the water that she breathed in and instantaneously died. Fell to the bottom. It's just amazing how I find this kind of stuff fascinating, this whole science of everything and how it happened 50-something million years ago, and it's still there.
It is really intact. It is really small. Actually, when you looked at the picture, did it look like a dinosaur to you? Kind of looked dinosaurish to me.
Oh, yeah, it totally looks like a dinosaur. Yeah. I wouldn't look at that weird thing and say, oh, look at the pony. No.
Yeah, no, I would have said Velociraptor or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, kind of looked, yeah, it didn't look like our horse today. Not even close. Well,
you've
speaking
seen the
of horses. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you've seen the movie How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Love that movie. You remember all the tiny little dragons that flew up and they were like, you know, he's playing with the light and all those little tiny dragons? That's what this looks like to me.
Speaking of which,
dragons.
We went to the movies yesterday. I got to tell you about this because we thought about you in the previews. We went to the movies yesterday and we saw Big Hero 6.
Which, by
the way, was a cute movie. It was a cute movie. But one of the previews is about the new SpongeBob movie coming out. And we thought about you because you would be there day one watching the SpongeBob movie.
Yeah, you know, I might have to go by myself, though, because Lucas is much more focused on Yo Gabba Gabba than he is on SpongeBob. So sadly, I've got to fix that. He's just too into Yo Gabba Gabba and not into SpongeBob enough. So I keep trying. I got him SpongeBob pajamas. I mean, I've got him everything SpongeBob, and he doesn't care. So we're gonna keep trying. Although I do have to make a couple comments. Number one is that I was reading on USA Today that the Big Hero 6 actually beat Interstellar in the box office by like a couple million dollars. So it was a really close race. And they were saying that the race was separated by age. So people with young children and small children went to see Big Hero 6, and adults went to see Interstellar.
Right.
And you went to see which one?
We went to see Big Hero 6. I didn't feel like sitting through Interstellar's 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. I can't
sit
through a 3 hour movie.
Too stressful.
Ugh,
no.
Too long.
And I just wanted to point out that people with small children and or children went to see Big Hero 6.
Yes,
and
that
adults.
Is correct.
We were the only ones who
And we were there with
theater.
All of them. We were there with all of them. All the kids
okay.
were there right around us. And it was really funny to see what the little kids were laughing at, because yeah. I would say Big Hero 6 still is a typical Disney Pixar movie. If you're an adult, you probably get some of the humor that the kids don't get. You know, it's a typical Pixar movie where they're made for both, and a lot of the kids definitely would not have gotten some of it. And there was one scene, no spoilers here, but there was one scene that was kind of traumatic, and you could hear kids asking what happened to their parents. And it was a sad part of the movie, and they were asking what happened. I thought that was interesting. I thought, kids are going to be a little disturbed by that scene. But it was interesting. But we got to see, more importantly, the Minions preview on the big screen. I cannot wait for that to come out.
You got a while to wait. You know what?
I know.
I think, what's the next spring or next summer?
It's summer. Yeah, it's summer. Ugh.
And you know they have it done already. Why don't they just release it at Christmas? You've got to get all this 9 months of build-up to get us to it.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
On the same note that you were saying, the Yo Gabba Gabba and SpongeBob thing, there's a new SpongeBob movie coming out, which I'm super excited about. But also, I would like to tell you that it is T-minus 15 days, only 14 sleeps more until Yo Gabba Gabba Live comes to Phoenix, baby. That's right. Yo Gabba Gabba Live. I am taking my child to a live Yo Gabba Gabba show in downtown Phoenix in 15 days. I'm hoping that some injury, like a tree falls on me and I break my leg the day before and I can't go, and then Chad has to take him by himself.
You know,
I shouldn't wish for that.
I don't know what this says, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a kids TV show, and it's really obnoxious and it's very bizarre. And it's just Google Yo Gabba Gabba and you'll see what I'm up against here, because it is a very bizarre thing. And for some reason, since day one of his life, he loved the show, and I can put him in front of it and he'll sit there and watch it. And they come around and they do a tour. It's kind of like Disney on Ice, but not on ice, on a stage, and very weird. It's animals that come to life. Anyway, I have to go. And so Chad was like, oh, my gosh, you should totally take him to this. And I said, wait, no.
Chad was not going.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, oh, really? I should take him to this? I was like, huh, let me just tell you that we're buying 3 tickets and you're coming, because I ain't doing this alone. No freaking way. A big germ fest theater, not going to happen. We're going as a family.
Poor Chad.
Poor
well,
Chad.
You know, there's one consolation in all of that. It could have been My Little Pony.
You know, I should point that out. Although, if there was a My Little Pony Live, all of our listeners would go, because they're ponies.
One thing more before we get to our commercial that I have to bring up, because I also got sent this by about 20 listeners. Yes, this is. Do you remember the name Joanna Rohrbach? Does that ring a bell?
No. Oh, no, please. Please. Don't talk about it.
Okay, do you remember what she did that led to her fame?
I sadly do know what her name is, because it's so weird. She is the lady that is trying to revolutionize the fitness world by her wonderful and exhilarating prancer size.
Exactly. You do remember. I'm impressed. Well, over the weekend, September 5th, actually, Anheuser-Busch took over the town of Crested Butte, which is in Colorado, and they make this whole entire town, they take the entire town over, and they make it into a party town for the weekend. Well, and it involves a private, you can't just go, you have to be invited. And they invite 500 party guests that are flown in from around the country, and each of them are allowed to bring a friend. And what they do is they, you know, inundate the place with beer, and they basically make it a great big party. Well, one of the people they invited, well, let me say, you know, they invite people like Pamela Anderson was there, David Hasselhoff was there, the performances by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Hulk Hogan was invited to bartend. So it gives you an idea of the class of people that they were inviting, right? They also invited Joanna Rohrbach to lead Prancercise classes throughout the weekend.
Oh, my gosh. She is making money on that? That pisses me off.
She has gone mainstream. She has gone mainstream. People are going to think all horse people are like her. That's the scary part. We don't need that publicity.
That's terrible. That makes me realize what we're not doing in our life to get rich. That chick probably paid from Budweiser a ton of money just to go and do that. We really got to figure something out.
I know. We're here every day trying to entertain the people, making them laugh a little bit, and this lady does a silly video and ends up... we were invited to the Bud Light weekend.
What?
With the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We weren't invited. Nobody invited
us. I know. Nobody called us, and we could lead Prancercise. You could lead Prancercise. Jennifer and I would sit back and have a beer.
Let's take a break for our sponsor. Jennifer, if you can, do you have the sponsor bit up there? If you do, she's going to play the ad for Omega Alpha. And when we come back, we are going to hear from a Canadian reiner and a friend of the Horse Radio Network, Lisa Coulter, about a new project of hers.
I'm bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Horses in the Morning. Thanks so much to Omega Alpha Equine for being such a great sponsor. We've got our first guest here, Glenn.
Yeah,
with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, you know, when Samantha Clark and I were doing the 2010 radio show, getting ready for the WEG in Kentucky, we made a lot of friends of a lot of the athletes out there, and we highlighted a few of them, and one of them we highlighted was Canadian reiner Lisa Coulter, and we got to know her pretty well, and we still keep in touch after all of these years. And I would like to bring her on the show right now because she has a new project she's working on she's going to tell us all about. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, guys.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's exciting. But I got it. What Prancercise?
You've got to check that out. It's something
okay.
I'm sure you can just lead the country of Canada in that.
Okay.
And look, apparently you make money doing it, unlike us. So
okay, I'm going to Google it.
No, see, you take on projects that are good for humanity that don't make any money. See, you're a lot like us. You know, you apparently like that. Well, Lisa, now, are you still professionally reining before we get to your new project?
Yeah, I was at, I just got back from Normandy this summer. I went over and represented Canada at WEG in France, so that was exciting.
Now, that was your second time, right, doing the WEG?
Yes.
And how did you feel about France and Kentucky, and, you know, what did you see as the differences, or?
Well, of course, we're in a whole different country, so that was exciting for us. I saw a lot of similarities, and everybody just puts their, but each country, you know, always puts their own spin on it. It kind of had the same vibe to it. Kentucky's horse park, I am a little biased. There's nothing really like it in the world to me. So that's hard to beat, that horse park. So I would have to give it to them on the venue.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are kind of spoiled in the All-Tech Arena because there's not too many like that. So I get it.
That horse park is really just special. So, but the France, it was in Normandy, and it was the countryside, and we got to go around and see everything, and they really worked hard to make it a first-class effort, and it really was. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Well, good. Terrific. Well, congratulations again on your continued success. One of the very few women at the level that you're at in reining as well. Tell us about your new project. You know how partial I am. We have supported the para dressage riders for years. We did fundraisers for them before the WEG in 2010. They actually do one of our dressage radio shows every month is devoted to the para, and they host it. So you know how dedicated we have been to the para riders here in the United States and around the world. And you are taking on a project that I read about but didn't realize you were involved in.
Yeah, I got involved last year. I was invited to coach at the first ever inaugural para reining event, and that was at the World Show. And I was instantly hooked. I actually coached Rebecca Hart, fell right in love with her. And that just spurred me on. I had been involved previously because the Equine Canada board, I have always been involved or asked to be involved with the para reining there. But it's a slow thing. We've got a lot of work to do. But when I was invited to coach, I jumped right at it. And then I continued on. And I put on a couple demos and helped with a couple efforts. And here we are now, about to embark on a clinic, so this will be the first para reining clinic, and I'm going to do that at my ranch. I'm having the riders come to my ranch for 5 days, and then we'll go to the NRHA Futurity and compete.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Where is your ranch, by the way?
Pilot Point, Texas.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to remember what state you were in. I couldn't remember. So now, has this really taken off? Have you had a lot of riders? Are there a lot of riders coming from the dressage side that now want to do reining, or are you bringing in new people as well?
You know, it's mostly about getting the word out there that we're here. And we have had most crossover from dressage, and most girls and guys are trying both. You know, they like to do both, but our effort right now is to just let people come try a reiner and see how they enjoy it and see how it fits them. But, yeah, we're getting a lot of dressage riders. It's pretty slow, I think, but that's only because I just don't think a lot of people know. But we are reaching out worldwide. We're getting a lot of people all over the world contacting us and asking questions. And so that's the goal, is to get people worldwide riding a reining horse, no matter the disability.
So now you have, you know, on the English side, on the dressage side, they do adaptations to the saddles and stirrups and things depending on what the disability is. And does the Western saddle make that easier, harder, or about the same?
Well, what I'm seeing is it's just a little bit easier because we already have a natural seat in our saddle to kind of grip the riders in a little better. Probably there's a little bit more leather, and there's our stirrups are bigger, and our we have the swells in the front and the cantle in the back. Everything can kind of fit them in a little neater, and I find the riders a lot more comfortable. But you know that they also, it just all depends on how it feels to them, you know. But we have one gal that's a paraplegic, and she has a couple of her own, you know, like cushions that she puts in to add comfort. But I think the biggest difference besides the equipment these girls and guys are experiencing is the horses.
The quarter horses.
Because they're shorter strided. Now, again, it depends on the disability as far as what, what they can, what stride they like, or if they're walking or if they're loping or what they're doing. But we're finding that the quarter horses with a little bit of shorter strides, now majorly shorter strides, here are we kidding, they seem to, some riders really adapt to that better.
I can see that. I was reading about one of the riders you have up there in Canada, Tara, is it Kowalski?
Right.
She was one of the first Canadians and had really crossed over. She had been competing. She was at the WEG in Kentucky and had crossed over to reining as well. I was reading her story. So, you know, I was reading some of the stories out there about this. And I think it's exciting. I think the more we can get for them to do and compete in, you know, in a structured competition, the better. I mean, it just gives them more places to go. They've been limited to dressage, really.
Right. And I think also there's a huge need maybe for the cowboy in us, right? Like there's probably a lot of guys out there that maybe don't, you know, no offense, but maybe they don't want to put on the tight pants. But
right,
they might find that, you know, cowboy boots and spurs and a cowboy hat are a little more of their liking. And so I think I'm working hand in hand with the dressage riders, and I really am a dressage lover. So I think that it's they kind of can coexist really well together, and it gives people choices. And let's face it, most of these people are competitive and they're driven, and they don't just want to ride a horse. They want to go show their stuff. They want to go compete.
Well, I think it's terrific what you're doing. Now, is there an official association at this point, or is it under the USEF? Have they recognized it? You know what?
Yes, there's a few different associations right now, and AQHA, NRHA, the USEF are all working together collectively to get program running. You know, we're working on rules and we're working on classifications, and we're taking a lot, learning a lot from dressage and what they're doing. There's studies going on right now to make sure. Movement studies and classification studies to make sure we understand the rider's needs, with a reining horse and a western saddle and all these things. But so there's lots going on, and there's lots of different entities involved, and everybody's excited to work together and get these riders going. It's growing. You know, we're getting more and more interest. We have quite a few riders going to the Futurity, and they're excited. And there's nothing like it when those riders spin a horse for the first time. We haven't been to an event yet that I just can't. I mean, I get so excited, and just to watch those people light up when they spin a horse, because they can do things that anybody can do on these reiners. They really truly can. They can do all the maneuvers.
So they do the spins and the sliding stops and the whole thing.
I'm telling you, they do. And even the gals that like Ruth, for instance, the girl's a treasure. I just love her. And she's paraplegic, but she spun her horse. You know, I even watched her lope her horse, and they've got guts, and the horses, they adapt so well. These reiners, I don't know, it's just something special about it. So I'm excited to be a part of it all. It's exciting for me to watch.
When is the clinic you're doing?
It's end of November, for 5 days, and then we'll go up to November 29th for 5 days, and then we'll go up to the Futurity in Oklahoma City, and these riders will compete there. And so we're going to work hard to put on a good clinic and show and let them go out and compete. They love to compete, so it's cool.
Very good. You know, you can follow this if you want to keep track of it. There's a Facebook page called Para-Reining. You just search for Para-Reining, and you'll find a Facebook page that Lisa posts on and other people as well to keep track of the group. I think it's great. I think the more sports and disciplines that we can bring into the para world, the better. There's no reason that we can't, you know. So
right.
I think that's great. And not all of us, like dressage. So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think. I mean, there's a little Wild West in all of us, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, para driving, I can't overlook that either. Drivers have been, the disabled have been doing driving for a very long time. So para driving is another thing that has really taken off. So. Well, congratulations and good job there, Lisa. We're proud of you.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a webpage?
No, we're just using the Para Reining Facebook right now to reach out to everybody. And you can get a hold of me from on that, and I respond to everybody, and that's the best way right now until we get a website up.
Very good. Lisa Coulter, thank you very much.
Okay, Glenn, thank you.
Super nice lady. We had a great time with her in 2010, and, you know, she's doing good work. Good for her. She is Canadian but lives in Texas because of that little thing we talked about earlier in the day.
The fact that those people are freezing to death right now?
Exactly. That's exactly why. Well, let's take a break for our song, and we're going to come back. We have some more news for you. Plus, Leslie Wiley is stopping by with the Wacky World of Horses from Horse Nation. But first, we're going to hear from one of our sponsors, Easy Signs Online.
With Christmas season fast approaching, it's time to start planning a custom gift that will last for many years to come. Visit our friends at ezsignsonline.com and browse their unique website for their many custom sign options and styles.
With affordable prices for customized signs starting at $39.95, your holiday gift-giving just got easier. Their step-by-step online sign ordering process allows you to choose only the sign options you want and see all the pricing up front. From horse farm entrance signs, vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs to stall nameplates, and much, much more for every horse owner. Place your order early to allow plenty of time for Christmas delivery. Check out the website today at ezsignsonline.com. That's ezsignsonline.com or call them at 1-800-640-8180. That's 1-800-640-8180.
Wedged my hand in the rigging as I stepped down in the shoes. I pushed my hat down tight and hollered, turn her loose. And she went out and threw a fit, kicking for the sky. I landed face down in the mud, and they all wonder why. The Mustang was my first love. Mustang, every night I was thinking of that wild horse tattoo and how high we flew. I became a man on a Mustang. Mach 1, I was taking on the world, driving down the road with college books and a college girl. I never thought we'd go that far in the early autumn rain, in the backseat of a car, middle of the day, in a Mustang, where I first tasted love. A Mustang, every night I think of her buckaroo tattoo and how high we flew. I became a man in a Mustang. Oh, how the years go by. I wish someone could tell me why it has to be like this. Found you in the sagebrush, north another range. Yeah, me and that college girl gave you the name Mustang. And you returned the favor, raising off to little kids. And now you're old, so before you go, I have to tell you this. Mustang, I pray you know how much I love you, little Mustang. I'll be thinking of you. You carried me on the day I took her hand. I became a man on a Mustang.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson with his song Mustang, and that was off of the Dirt CD. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com or head on over to iTunes and just search for Jared Rogerson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, there was an auction over the weekend at Keeneland.
Oh, dude. Yeah, there are some people in Kentucky that have some money. You know, just
big
when
bucks.
You start to feel bad about the economy, just go to a thoroughbred sale at Keeneland and you'll be like, oh, we're good. Somebody's got money. Because on Wednesday, oh my gosh, a Tappet filly sold $3 million. Filly, little filly, never raced, never had babies, Tappet filly, $3 million.
I have the HRTV report on this. Do you want to take a listen?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, Wednesday was the second session of the 71st Keeneland November breeding stock sale. And Aloof, a Group 3 winning daughter of Galileo in foal to leading sire Warfront, became the highest priced horse of the sale when she sold for $3.9 million to Mandy Pope's Florida-based Whisper Hill Farm. Now, we're very familiar with Mandy Pope and her high-profile purchase of last year, including Groupie Doll for $3.1 million. But Mandy Pope back at it, wanting to get that mare beautifully bred. According to Mandy Pope, she said, we went with a little bit of a European flair, being by Galileo. Also wanted to let you know that there was a high, very high price for weanling. He was the North American record, and he was by Tappet. And they paid $3 million for him. So that was all part of that record day two of the Keeneland November 6th.
There you go. $3.9 million and $3 million. Where does, Jennifer, do you know where Mandy Pope's money comes from?
But I need to find out.
Yeah, find that out.
We
I don't know. I've
that.
Heard that name before. Yeah, I heard that name before because she's bought other stuff, but woof. That's for a weanling.
Let's see here. Mandy Pope. You talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to figure
she's
this out.
She's out of Citra, Florida. I know she's out of Citra, which is not too far from where we live here in Ocala, actually. But, yeah, I mean, the Wednesday sale, get this, the single day gross for when, that means the total of all the horses that went through, was $54.4 million, 22% higher than 2013.
I realize that by paying $3 million for that weanling, they have guaranteed he'll never win a race.
I know.
Ever.
Yes, that's right.
Make him an event horse now and skip the expense.
The overall average that day was $351,000 a horse. So there you go. That's not too shabby. And we all think about it when we have to spend $5,000 on a horse. You know, it's like, oh, man, $5,000 is a lot for a horse. $351,000 average.
Okay, she is the, let's see here, the CEO, and she's been working for a long time for a place called Parkway Properties. And Parkway Properties is a real estate investment trust specializing in operations, acquisition, ownership, management, and leasing of office properties in 10 states. That's what I'm...
Okay.
If I'm Googling rather quickly. Now, it says that on Forbes.com said her income for last year was $600,000. But she owns like a billion shares of stock. So I'm sure she's probably doing okay.
Yes.
Not a billion, but a lot.
Well, there you go. That's the story out of Keeneland. I had my bizarre story of the day is out of Canada, British Columbia. And this is about a guy named Terry Carden. He's 53 years old, and he has this farm up there. Well, he was leasing part of this farm to this other lady, and this other lady had some boarders, okay? So you got the case. He has this farm. He uses part of it. He leases part of it to this other lady, and this other lady has some boarders. So he apparently got in a big fight with the lady who was leasing the other half, but he couldn't get her out because she had a lease. So they weren't getting along, and he especially was not liking the lady's boarders coming on his property, and it just went all to hell. So this poor woman and her 14-year-old, who's just boarding there with this other lady, just trying to get along. Excuse me. Apparently, every time she would come over, this carton guy would just give her a hard time, and would just bust her chops. The one day she left, there were big scratches in the side of her car that cost her like $2,000 to fix. So on June the 10th, she went over there with her daughter to go ride, to do a trail ride. And when her 14-year-old daughter walked away, apparently, she walked away for a little bit, and the lady's getting her horse ready and went to find her daughter. She found her daughter backed up against the wall because this guy had a horse in his hand and was trying to rile the horse up, beating the horse with a lead rope, trying to get it to kick the daughter. He had backed the daughter up to a wall with this horse, tormenting the horse, trying to get it to kick out. And I told you this was a bizarre story. So the mother apparently went over to get the daughter, and he turned the horse on the mother, trying to get the horse to back up to the mother to kick the mother. Well, she finally did get her daughter out of there, and they left the property, called the police, and they came back and arrested the guy, and now he might be going to jail. And what the story is, they're trying to determine in this trial is, can a horse be used as a weapon? So they're trying to determine, because they have very strict weapon laws up there, like guns. So they're trying to determine, is this horse, in this case, the same as a dog in attack that's used as a weapon, or a gun? So that's what they're trying to determine in court right now.
Wow.
It's a bizarre story for the day.
That is bizarre.
Yes, is the answer to that question, yes. Wouldn't you say yes? I would say yes. You can use a horse as a weapon. They did it all the time in wars. They've been using weapons for thousands of years.
I was waiting for you to say, and then the horse ended up just kicking the guy. Like, that's what I wanted to happen.
No, it didn't end up that good. It was not that good. She actually heard the guy say, "I am going to get him to kick you." And this is the 14-year-old daughter.
Okay, that's just bizarre. Just bizarre.
Yeah, but the answer to the question, the important question was, can a horse be used as a weapon? And yes, the knights did it all the time.
Absolutely. So. Hey, just a little reminder to those of us, and I need to ask Jennifer, because she's a rider. Jennifer, have you been participating in No Stirrup November?
Yes, I have. I actually drop my stirrups and ride that way all the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she does, actually. That's true.
Do you really?
She
now,
sits that way.
I don't ever trot and do that.
Well, that doesn't count. I'm like, dang, look at her working hard for no reason. She don't have a show coming up. She just likes to trail ride, and she walks. The only reason you drop your stirrups is because your ankles cramp.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, there was an article.
About 90 minutes, your ankle, your feet fall asleep. You need to take your feet out of your stirrups.
Jeez. Stretch your knees out. Yeah, I know what you're doing. I've been there. I've done that. But you're supposed to be riding with no stirrups for all of November and participating and doing things that you normally do. And there was an article on Chronicle of the Horse, and the Horse Nation reposted it because it's a little bit older, but it's ask the experts, why and how should we ride without stirrups? And it's George Morris basically telling you why you should ride without stirrups. And he does say that the benefit to riding without stirrups, the primary benefit is to develop your seat. Also, it improves what I call the ability to stick a horse. In the classical riding schools of Europe, riders were required to ride without stirrups for the first 3 years that they were there. 3 years. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how good you'd be after 3 years of no stirrups?
I'd be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd have very hard calluses on your butt.
Well, I do think in the world of celebrities, you know, they really like that what they call thigh gap. And that's when a woman's thighs, when they're standing and they don't touch in the middle. And I
they look like cowboys. Yeah, the old cowboy look.
It's completely underrated to have really strong inner thigh muscles. And I think that bulging inner thigh muscles should be brought back to the forefront of fashion and any sort of, it should be brought to Hollywood is what it should be brought.
Absolutely.
I bet Kaley Cuoco has strong, big inner thigh muscles. I mean, really?
And she's a hell of a comedian, too.
And she's fun. She rides horses. I don't like her show, but I like her. George Morris also goes on to say that you should, in an ideal world, beginner riders should be started on a calm horse on the lunge line without stirrups right from the start. So you think they're going to change around my house because King George said that we need to start without stirrups. The question is, how should a rider go about beginning work without stirrups? Starting out at the walk on a lunge line is a great way to get started, or Jennifer, starting out at a walk on a trail ride forever is a great way to get started. And at first, just go for 5 or 10 minutes. You can hook the fingers of one hand under the front of the saddle for more security, and then helps encourage a better position or a deeper seat. Jennifer, do you trail ride, because you trail ride a lot on your quarter horse, have you changed over to the Western tack yet, or are you still in an English saddle?
No. Not the Western.
So you're,
I have a Western saddle for when guests stop by, and I take it out every 3 or 4 months, and I use it just to make sure it's all in one piece and there are no tiny livestock living inside. But other than that, no, I'm sorry. And if you've ever sat on Beaker's Trot, you know why I don't take my feet out of the stirrups or try to sit. It's a little bit like riding a four-wheeler with square tires or something. You don't want to do that. No.
Yeah.
Bad.
I understand.
Well, let's bring the person who started all this into the conversation, because she's here. Leslie, have you been living up to your own preaching?
I one-upped it. I'm no saddle November.
What?
I know.
Now, let me see. We're Facebook friends. And I'm going to call you out on this, because I want to know if that is true. Have you been posting pictures of your no saddle November? I don't see anything. No, I think you're lying.
You did. I thought that looked great. That was very inspiring.
I have been working very hard, very hard. But you have not posted one picture of no saddle November. So I'm calling you out.
I'll definitely post a bareback selfie. I'm going to bump that to the top of my to-do list. Do it today.
Yeah, it better be the top of your to-do list. Are you serious? You're really going no saddle?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, my horse isn't jumping right now. Anyway, so I don't really have anything. Yeah. I might make an exception if we were jumping, but heck yeah, why not?
Good for you. You're crazy. just trying to one up the rest of us.
I love riding bareback when the weather gets cold, because it's just like you're sitting on like a seat warmer, you know, parts of the seat warmers. So this keeps your bum, your bum nice and toasty.
Her husband's disappointed because it's also no sex November.
Oh, boy, I'm not lying today.
Boom.
Boom. He just did that. He called you out.
The microphone dropped.
Microphone dropped and walked off the stage. Gotcha. Now, I don't know where to go with that, so I'm just going to change the subject.
Good call.
You just posted a video it's not a montage, a collage of pictures of people riding when they're kids. Now, what are you guys doing here? You're asking people to post pictures of when they were a fearless, horse-loving kid who rode?
Yeah, I love it. We love asking readers to post pictures, you know, on various topics, and they love posting it. You know, it's just a fun thing to share, and so I thought that'd be fun. I love seeing like pictures of, you know, adorable kids on horses.
Well, look no further. Is if you go over to the Horse Nation Facebook page and you look under this, there is the most adorable kid ever, and her name is Jamie, and she's on a little white pony named Snowflake. Boom! I dropped it. I put one in.
Oh my goodness, so cute. wearing?
If you click on it, let me just point out that I am on a white pony and I am wearing a black pair of sweatpants. The black sweatshirt has little horses on it, and I'm wearing white socks and loafers.
I actually have that sweatshirt. I'm not making fun of you. I would borrow that from your younger self.
I wrote the caption with the picture is the days before helmets or saddles or riding clothes or proper tack. When I got Snowflake, he came with a purple bridle. Like one of those purple nylon bridles with the Western reins, and I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue how to do anything. I didn't have a saddle, so I just rode her bareback. That was just, I didn't have, and I was lucky to catch her, much less get a bridle on her. So, yeah, she lived in that halter, and that's a little Snowflake. I had her all my youth.
Aww. It was the days before pulling combs, too, huh?
The days before anything that was proper attire, days before horse shampoo, the days before human haircuts. I have the worst hair and the worst clothing. I don't know how my mother let me out of the house, but
it's a little feathered, right? Like slightly feathered.
Yeah,
okay, I'm trying
like
to figure
it.
Out which one's you on this. Which one's you?
Are you fantastic?
No, I'm trying to find it on this page. There's 1,000 pictures here.
No, there's only two.
Oh, okay, I'm in the wrong place. I think I'm in the wrong place.
Look at this other cutie one. This is a little tiny rider on a great big horse, two pointing. Oh, my gosh. That is precious. Kids on horses.
So anyway, where were we? You could do guys go over and post on horsenation.com your pictures of you riding as a youth. It's fun to revisit and make fun of ourselves. I won't post the picture that my mother has of me galloping away in a bathing suit. That's going to stay with me.
That's classified.
Snowflake lived in my backyard, and I did whatever I wanted with Snowflake, and I apparently just rode her in a bathing suit. Because nothing says more attractive than either a black sweatsuit on a white horse or getting out on your pony after you've been wearing a bathing suit and swimming. Can you imagine how disgusting
Okay, I found
I
the picture. I found the picture, and I like the 90s hair, too, the bang.
Oh, God, that's 80s. That's
80s. Yeah, you're right. That does go back to 80s. You're right about that.
It's disgusting. Yeah, Chad asked me just yesterday, there was something on TV. He goes, what were you doing in 1986? And I was like, galloping around bareback on Snowflake? I'm like, that's what I did in 1986. So there you go. Anyway, that's on the Horse Nation Facebook page. Now, we've got some other stuff to talk to you about, like the amazing photos of this phenom clipper. I am inspired of this chick named Jillian Scott who body clips horses in the craziest ways.
Yeah, she's from Scotland. I'd seen some of her clips floating around Facebook, and, man, did you guys have her on the show once? Or
yeah,
once?
I'm looking it up now. We had her on...
I think you did.
We had her on Stable Scoop or one of those.
Yeah.
I forget which show we had her on, but, yeah, we had her on. We talked to her about this. She made a business out of doing these bizarre clips.
Yeah, they're just crazy. She, you know, clips like one of these horses that looks like a leopard. One of them looks like a cheetah. There's a dragon. She's
done the musical
scale
on horses. I've seen that. Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
The
bagpipe, very cool.
And the zebra, the ones you see that the white horses she clips to make them look like a zebra.
Mm-hmm.
And those have made their way around the internet. But she's done some bizarre clips. I mean, just she really is good.
She really is, and she's like extra superhero in my book because I hate clipping more than anything. Oh my goodness!
Wouldn't it
so,
be nice to just have her stop by your house and clip your horses for you? Because I'm about there, and oh my God, I'm dreading it.
Fly her in from Scotland.
Oh,
yeah.
I found it. Okay, it's a Stable Scoop episode 285 if you want to listen to her. We interviewed her back in January.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it was.
Yeah.
It's called Pete Side Equa Custom Clipping. mm-hmm. the company. Yeah, really cool.
That's
good
crazy.
Job.
I'm surprised she had time to talk to you in January. That's the kind of the busiest time of year.
Yeah.
There are some
now,
really
the other
key
one,
ones, though.
The story that I really liked that was on there was this woman that's doing her bucket list adventure. Tell us about her. What a incredible
man.
Person she is.
There are just so many just awesome horsewomen all around the world that are just doing, like, amazing things, like Jillian the Body Clipper and this woman, waiting for my, her name is Yulia Frolova. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly,
close.
But she's from Bahrain, and she travels a lot for business. She says she travels like 15 to 25 times a year, but instead of sort of letting that interfere with her horse habit, she has a goal of riding a horse in every country she visits. She sort of researches it first, and so far she has ridden horses in 25 different countries, and it looks like, I mean, she has a picture of her taking a jumping lesson in Beirut, a dressage lesson in Spain. My favorite picture is she's snuggling this little woolly Icelandic horse in Iceland. She is super cool. Another foot of her riding through the mountains in Russia. Like, what a great idea.
And this is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And she shares all of her pictures on, she has a blog and an Instagram account. So you can check all of them out.
If you just search Equigeo, Equigeo is her blog, and mm-hmm. she has a bunch more on there. She's a pretty good blogger too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of the pictures from some of the countries she's been to, she's sort of like you know, Darley with Equitrekking, only without the TV show. I mean, she's just
different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, incredible.
So cool. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I think the only person that rivals her is Darley Newman from Equitrekking. I mean, the two coolest chicks in the world. That's awesome. We'll have to check her out. I'm going to post these links on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, but just go to horsenation.com. Also, then we have had the craziest U.S. dressage finals ever, it seems like. I don't understand. Like, I'm sorry, the dressage finals is never on my radar. It's not something I'm like, oh, here they come, the dressage finals.
I'm gonna win.
But this time it kind of has been. It's been really, it's kind of broken the mold a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think last week we posted a story that just got shared all over the place about this mule that had qualified for the U.S. Dressage Championships at training level. And, you know, we talked about this. I think we talked about this last week.
Yep.
And she
yep.
did a...
That's right, out of California.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Did a Kickstarter campaign, like got her trip funded. Because there's just, you know, that the mule loving community is just so supportive and was so excited, you know, that this is really demonstrating the versatility of that animal. And so she apparently laid down a couple of super tests that scored in the high 60s. Had a friend there watching, and she said that they were just like, so they were just fantastic to watch. So that was a neat story that came out of it. The horse that won the Open Grand Prix Freestyle was a 14 three-hand Welsh Cobb stallion named North Forks Cardi.
Barely a horse.
No.
It's almost a pony.
Yeah, right? So we've got a video of that if you want to watch it. He just has so much pizzazz. His owner said he has an ego the size of Texas, and he was putting on a show. She said he seemingly becomes three hands taller and says, "Watch this."
He's really, oh my gosh, adorable. But I have a question. So the horses are always, you know, braided incredibly well, and there seems to be something on his bridle that is flopping around. It's kind of distracting. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, what is that? Is it, you know how it's for stallions, it is, you know, they don't have to, they traditionally, like, don't braid their forelocks. So
oh,
I think that's just
okay.
His forelock.
Oh, my gosh,
well, that's
it's
what
huge.
It is his forelock, I think.
Yeah,
I think it
yeah.
is his forelock.
And they've got it sort of tucked down under the bridle.
Yeah.
So it's not like flying all over the place. But, I mean, he's a, you know, those ponies, Welsh cobs, they've got hair. They can grow some hair, so.
Look at the tail on that pony. But, man, you're right.
Oh,
he's like, he just, like, he gets his job, he understands, and he is so stinking cute. Oh, my gosh.
My
you gosh. Just see the pony doing all that kind of stuff, pee off and passage and all that. So, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And so did she win?
She won.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe that? So cool. You know, you usually see these, you know, imported from Europe, you know, giant warm bloods just, you know, typically rule that scene, you know, the upper levels of dressage. And so it's just so cool to see, you know, just inspiring, I think, for a lot of people. You know, it's like you don't have to have that, you know, that $100,000 warm blood, you know.
Now, how did the mule do?
I mean, I don't think the mule didn't win, but because it is so, I mean, can you imagine how competitive, I don't know what the
national
winning order was. Especially at training level, you know, there's got to be just a million gazillion, entries, but I mean, she scored, 67%, in, both training level tests, in the open division. And, So that's super respectable.
On your article says that she has two other mules. She's got the one at training level, but then she's got a first level and a mule at third level.
How cool is that? You guys need to have her on the show.
Yeah,
actually. I did try to get her before she left, but we couldn't work it out. She had a long trip to haul horse across the country. She was on the road for
a
few days, and she raised the money. Most of the money she raised $10,000 to make this trip, and most of it
Good
came
God.
From mule. She raised it from mule people. They're all her mule friends. She's like the vice president of the Mule Association for the United States, and all the mule people came through for her because they were so proud of her doing this. We'll definitely try and get her on. We're definitely going to try and get her back. There was another story, too.
What exactly? $10,000 is, like, plenty of money. Like, what? I'll have to ask her when we get her on. What did she do with
the whole thing, you know, I guess. That,
cool.
Yeah, I know that the stalls were expensive. Everybody was complaining that it was all a little expensive this year for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the stalls were? What I was told by one of the riders, $350 a day.
If you wanted
one of the stalls that was over by the new arena, by the Alltech Arena, it was $350 a day.
No.
Horse, you're sleeping in the trailer.
Yeah, right? Welcome to my hotel.
Remember,
room.
Those stalls
Sorry.
Are heated, aren't they? They're like heated, warm, nice, cozy stalls. But still, $350 a day. There was a girl that lived near Lexington that actually was the big winner for the weekend. Her name is Angela Jackson. She's a German transplant and a trainer now in the Lexington area. And she won three of the classes, so she was the big winner from the weekend, winning three different classes. She actually came to the United States in 1990 to improve her English and met a guy and fell in love, became her husband, and stayed. So she's been here ever since, training and competing in the Lexington area, but was the big winner for the weekend. So that was kind of cool.
That's great.
Yep. So that was good.
My neighbor two houses down is a German lady who came here to visit and met a guy, and she's now my neighbor.
What happened? You know, we all travel to Europe to meet, you know, all the single people here travel and backpack around Europe to meet somebody over there. They all come over here to meet somebody. So it just goes to show the grass is always greener, right?
there's no guys in our country, so we got to go to other countries, and the guys are coming
right
here.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Where did you meet your husband there, Leslie? I don't know. We've asked you that before.
We met in our, I guess I was 22. We were just kind of running around in the same scene. Like he was in a band, so that was like super cool.
You were a groupie. You were
I was
a groupie.
Total groupie. Oh my gosh, I was a super groupie. You know it.
So did you get
Leslie?
So when you
are we the same person? Do we have the same parents? I mean, amazing.
I think the only person that Jamie ever went out with that wasn't in a band and that she was a groupie for was her current husband.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Pretty much it.
Yeah.
See,
date
the band member, Leslie. Don't marry the band member.
Yeah,
seriously?
Exactly.
Did you not?
What's wrong
with
you?
Yeah, the rock and roll band guy types are typically very, very dateable, but maybe not the marrying type. So
no. So how'd you get yours to quit being in a band and marry you?
Well, we broke up for about 4 years, I think, in the middle. And I dated somebody else, and then he realized that he had just, you know, missed out on, you know, the opportunity of a lifetime, and settled down, domesticated a little bit, got himself together, and you know what? And then I took him back.
After No Saddle November, it's going to be breaking up again. Can we back to playing
the
drum?
Oh, no. I thought we dropped that a long time ago.
Yeah, I thought we did, too.
Stir in the pot.
Oh, that's great. That's good. So you had to break up with the band member first. See, I didn't do that. I just dated a different band guy. Usually I would go within the same band and just date a different guy in that same band. So, like, you date the guitarist, but then, oh, you know what? I kind of like the drummer. So I'll date the drummer for a while. Ladies, whatever you do, young girls sitting around the speakers right now listening to this show, let me just give you a little piece of advice. Never date the drummer. Just never date the drummer. They're always crazy.
Leslie, what was he? Was he the drummer?
No, he played the guitar.
Okay.
See, those guys are studious.
But
drummers
I hate a drummer.
Are crazy. Yeah, drummers
are
nuts.
Crazy.
Don't ever date the drummer.
Public service announcement from Jamie and Leslie. Don't date
exactly.
Drummers, kids.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, horsenation.com is where you can find this and all sorts of other great advice. And I did love your article on George Morris, speaking of actual real great advice. Not that the drummer thing wasn't great advice. That is really good advice. Please don't date drummers.
Probably more important advice, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Ride with no stirrups. But seriously, don't date a drummer. We love you guys. Leslie, we love you. Thank you so much for coming on, and we will talk to you again next Monday.
Have a great week.
Bye, Leslie.
Boy, it just fizzles when we talk to her. We start out.
I know.
And then it just disappears.
Look at all that serious news we covered until she showed up.
I know.
No,
but seriously,
there is some good stuff. Yeah. Actually, we had a tough time. You know, I always email with Leslie before the show to decide which articles we're going to talk about. And there were a lot of good ones this week. We had a tough time coming up with three. There were so many good ones. So head over to horsenation.com. And I'm kind of getting used to the new layout, so I can actually find stuff now. I was having trouble with that after she switched to the new layout, but it's good.
Well. Yeah, go and post pictures of yourself on the Horse Nation Facebook page if you as a child. Or do it on our page. What the hell? I'd like to see it. I mean, do it on our page. Here, I'll start it. I'll post a picture of myself, and then hopefully you guys will all post. Jennifer, do you have any pictures of you as a child riding horses?
I'm just posting one right now.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll post mine in the comments then.
I do not, by the way, so I will not be able to help with that.
You notice I didn't ask you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I came into that picture about the age of 25. So, yeah.
I have one of you with your pony, though. You were practically.
Oh, post that too. Post that too. 25 is young enough. He's old now. This is great.
Yeah.
I'm double that.
Half his age.
That's right. Well, this has been a fun show. I hope everybody had a good time listening in this morning. A lot of news for you today, and we have a bunch more coming up. Tomorrow, we are doing the Endurance Show with Karen Chatton. Is that right, Jennifer? Yes, we are doing the Endurance Show with Karen Chatton tomorrow. She's actually speaking. It's time to elect a new board members for the Endurance Association, and we're speaking to a couple of them. So you thought the politics was over. I'm going to ask the tough questions tomorrow. So we're going to talk to a couple of them, and also she'll have some tips for you on endurance riding and all the usual stuff. We'll be back here on Wednesday with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Did I miss anything? Is that about it?
You did good. Although I really hope that the No Sex November thing doesn't take off. Let that go.
I thought that was the line of the day. You have to admit, I got the line of the day today.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
I get the prize for that. What is the prize? Do I get sex for the prize? Is that it, Jennifer? Is that what I get?
You know what your prize is? I'm going to give you your prize right now.
My little pony. I noticed she wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, no sex November started
on
10 days.
On the couch again.
It starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Have a great day. Be safe out there. Wear your helmet.
Bang, neuter, and gals.